All right. Well, when you hear that music, you know it is time for the Psalms. And since we're reflecting today on Good Friday, the Psalm I'm going to pick is the classic Good Friday Psalm, Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is written by David, of course, in Book 1 of the Psalms. And it's a messianic psalm of fulfillment. It's one of several psalms written by David that, and what I mean by messianic psalm of fulfillment is pointing toward the Messiah. So this psalm is pretty long, and we're probably not going to get through the whole thing, but I just want to really focus on the parts of the psalm that speak to Good Friday. And so the prescript starts off is the entire first verse. It says, "For the choir master, in the manner of the doe at daybreak, a psalm of David." So again, David wrote this psalm, handed it off to the choir master, one of the Levites who were directed by David to be musical directors of the musical guild of the Jewish temple. And he wanted it to be in the same kind of the same rhythm, the same kind of cadence as the doe at daybreak. So the classic way this psalm starts off in verse 2. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you far from saving me, so far from my words of anguish? Oh, my God, I call by day and you do not answer. I call by night and I find no reprieve. All right, so we have to talk about these first the verses 2 and 3 here. So here's Jesus on the cross. And Jesus actually prays several psalms from the cross, but this is the one that usually gets the most attention. Now, some people will hear Jesus praying this psalm, and they'll think, oh, see, the Father abandoned his son on the cross, and the Father took all of his wrath and all his rage against the sin of humanity and heaped it upon his son. And so he abandoned his son, so his son is crying out because he's abandoned by his Father on the cross. And no, actually, nothing could be further from the truth. That is not what's happening here. Jesus is praying this particular psalm for two main reasons. One, as I said earlier, it's a messianic psalm of fulfillment. This psalm was written 700 years before Jesus was even born. All right. And so he's praying this psalm because when we read the rest of the psalm, you'll see he would not just have recited the first couple verses. He would have been reciting the entire psalm. And you have to think about what the people are hearing as he's praying this psalm. This literally what's happening in this psalm is being fulfilled at the foot of the cross. So as he's praying the psalm, he's reminding them that this psalm is being fulfilled in your hearing. This psalm is being fulfilled in your hearing. And it's also a psalm of hope, especially when we get toward the end of the psalm. So that's the first reason. The second reason is that in his human nature, Jesus was allowed to experience, again, in his humanity, the emptiness, the isolation, the desolation that we've all felt where we're going through something really, really hard, really difficult in life, and we feel as if God is not there, right? This is what David was going through when he wrote the psalm, right? He felt, God, where are you right now? Look, we've all been there. We've all been through this when we lost a spouse, or we lost someone, a parent, lost a child, lost someone we were close to, when we're going through physical ailments day after day. You wake up in pain. You spend the entire day in pain. You go to bed in pain. You wake up the next day in pain. And you just feel like it's going on. Whatever it is in your life is going, the mental illness is going on forever and ever, and there seems to be no end. And you say to yourself, God, where are you right now? Why aren't you present in my life? Why can't I feel your presence? Now, in his human nature, because obviously he was never separated from God because he is the second person of the Trinity, right? The word that became flesh. So he was never abandoned by God because he is God. But in his human nature, he was allowed to experience that same emptiness that we've all felt which I just described, where we feel that God is not there. He was allowed to experience that. Why? In order to redeem it. In order to redeem it. Because remember, Jesus on the cross redeemed all of our sin. And that includes that the emptiness and isolation and desolation that comes from where we're going through something really difficult, where our sins weigh us down, where we're going through points of hopelessness and desperation in our lives. All of that was taken to the cross and was crucified with the Lord. So he was allowed to experience that. So that also can be redeemed by the spilling of his blood, by his death, and ultimately by his resurrection. So that's the reason why Jesus was praying, the two reasons why Jesus was praying this psalm. And the psalm, so I'm going to skip a little bit of the psalm here to make sure we have time to get through. So verse 7, but I am a worm and no man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. When you think of the events that happened earlier in the day, they're yelling, crucify him, in the release of Barabbas, right? And this is exactly what's going on. All who see me deride me. They curl their lips. They toss their heads. He trusted in the Lord. Let him save him, right? Remember the people shouting, maybe Elijah will come to save him. You know, if you are really the son of God, put yourself down from the cross. You know, and look at this again, 700 years before Jesus was even born. Let him release him, for in him he delights, right? And I love this part. Now, this is a part of the psalm that people don't pay enough attention to, because think about who was standing there at the foot of the cross. The women, including Mary, his mother. So the Blessed Virgin Mary would have been standing at the foot of the cross. And here's what we see in Psalm verse 10 of Psalm 22. Yes, it was you who took me from the womb, entrusted me to my mother's breast. To you I was committed from birth. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Stay not far from me. Trouble is near, and there is no one to help. So think about that. His mother is standing at the foot of the cross in the most intense agony and pain that a parent could ever experience, because no parent can even imagine the death of their own child, because our children are supposed to outlive us. That's the way it's supposed to work. But there's this Blessed Mother, and this beautiful part of Psalm 22, which I don't think we emphasize enough. His mother was there, and Jesus would have been praying this psalm with his mother at the foot of the cross. Almost like he's crying out to her. Like when children are in pain, what do? We cry to our mothers. Mommy, you know, when you fall down on the ground, the first thing we do is cry out for mom. You know, it's almost like Jesus is doing this. He recognizes her. He's remembering this psalm, you know, how he was born through her. You know, the word, he became flesh in her. She gave birth to him. And, you know, and he was committed to God from that birth. And that, there's his mother watching him at the cross. Beautiful, beautiful. Verse 13, many bulls have surrounded me. Fierce bulls of Bashan close in on me. Again, he's being surrounded by people who just want to see him die. And these next verses of the psalm, I'm just going to read them. And I want you to think, this is 700 years before Jesus was even born. 700 years. And here is this part of the psalm, verses 15 to about 19. Like water, I am poured out. Remember the scourging, the blood that's flowing from his body. Disjointed are all my bones, especially when they drove the spikes in, and when they stretched his arms on the cross, dislocated his shoulder. My heart has become like wax. It is melted within my breast. Parched as burnt clay is my throat. My tongue cleaves to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. The band of the wicked besets me. Here we go. They tear holes in my hands and my feet. I can count every one of my bones. They stare at me and gloat. They divide my clothing among them. They cast lots for my robe. Oh, come on now. That's exactly what's happening at the foot of the cross. But then the psalm continues. But then it toward the end of the psalm, it ends kind of joyfully, with praise, knowing that God will come to our rescue in the end. You are my praise in the great assembly. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and shall have their fill. They shall praise the Lord, those who seek him. May their hearts live on forever and ever. So there's a joyousness at the end of the psalm, knowing that the cross is not the end, that salvation is coming. And the last few verses, and my soul shall live for him, my descendants serve him. Right? They shall tell of the Lord to generations yet to come. That the saving witness and saving power of God's love that happened on the cross is the story of salvation that will be told from generation to generation, from Jesus's time to our time, to our children's time, to our grandchildren's time, to our great-grandchildren, all the way to the end of the age. This story of salvation must be told. We must witness to it. And they shall tell the Lord for generations yet to come, declare his saving justice to peoples yet unborn. These are the things the Lord has done. What a beautiful way to end that psalm. The beauty of our story of salvation lived out on that Good Friday.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.